Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Hi, welcome to the Tuesday Q&A show on Monday. We're with Will, who you might know as Willie Bum Bum. He sometimes logs in the show and adds astute advice. And he's in studio today. I don't know if we've ever had an in-studio guest.
Pump it up.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. He's here to try to answer questions. Since I'm so bad at this, it's nice to have somebody who can do a good job at this. Here's our agenda. We're going to talk about guide school a little bit, talk about rescue kits a little bit, and answer questions.
Sounds good.
And the reason I want to talk about guide school is because we're doing one. Northwest Drafting Company is offering one this May. It's a 7-day course. I kind of want to promote it because we want a few more people in it. We have 7 students. What do you think the perfect number of students for a guide school is?
I guess it just depends on how many instructors there are. But
2 instructors.
Certainly a maximum.
There's definitely a maximum.
2 instructors? 8 to 10 probably sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I like 10. I think 10's a nice number. We have 7 right now, getting 3 more. I'd go to 12 just to fill out more boats and just have more people to interact with. So we'd love to get some students. It's 7 days, mostly in like Clackamas near Portland. At the end of the course, if you do everything well, you get an IRF certificate and a Rescue 3D Rescue Cert. So it's like packed in 7 days of like commercial guiding experience. For those of you that want to be commercial guides or thinking about it, I just want to take a super intense class. Mark Hurst is teaching it, who is, I think, the best instructor in the world. And I'm flying him over from Iceland to do it. It's going to be high-quality guide school. So if you want to do it or somebody else, just letting y'all know there's a guide school we're doing through Northwest Rafting Company.
What level IRF cert?
They'll get like a level 2 or 3 provisional.
Cool.
So it'll like level 2 or 3 means like class 2 or class 3. Provisional means you have to get experience guiding before it's real. And so you'll get like based on how well you do level 2 or level 3 in the course, but you can't get a full IRF cert until you actually have experience guiding. And so once it's backed up with a river log and first aid and CPR, it becomes non-provisional.
Sweet.
Yeah. And a full Rescue 3, like Rescue 3 Europe curriculum. Like you get at the end, you have like a card, like I've been trained in rescue.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty intense 7-day course, and we'd love to get 3 more people in it.
If you're looking to get into river guiding, or if you're a new guide that wants to go international, that IRF cert is a phenomenal foundation to get started.
I've never had anybody. Are we supposed to look at each other? Or is just to look at the camera?
I have no idea what I'm
either.
Doing. No clue.
I'm not even sure what to do either. It's just me talking to that silly
camera. It feels like we're having a conversation with the third person here.
Yeah, without each other. They're looking. I don't know. I think we look that way, but I have no idea. If anybody knows, leave in the comments what we're supposed to do. The thing about guide schools too is a lot of them are just like a guide company, like throws a few other guides out to go teach some guide stuff, and then 2 guides go teach some people who pay $200 a person or it was free to do some guide stuff. And what I'm choosing to do here is do a pretty expensive course. I think it's $1,300, but it's like very high quality instruction, high quality gear. And you leave with like 2 certifications ready to go. So it's a high level course that's going to cost some money, but something I'm really proud of offering. So again, if anybody wants to do it, you're interested, let us know. We'd love to have a few more students. Next, I want to talk about rescue kits really quick. And this is sort of an advertisement. I have this place where I sell gear, riverhardware.com. I'm like mildly obsessed with this online store right now. I get so happy when people buy things. I'll have to show you the room. It's upstairs. I call it the gift shop. Okay. There's just tons of gear. When an order comes through, I'm like, oh, cool. It's like a mindless thing. I get to go do packaging it and take it to the UPS store. It's an easy part of my day. And because I like selling stuff, I keep adding products. And the latest products under River Rescue Gear, all the stuff you need to make yourself a rescue kit. And the very minimum thing you need, like you could buy a rescue kit from NRS, right? You could just go buy it, and it's the stuff they give you. This is the stuff on this page is what I'm going to call the highest quality stuff. The stuff that I use, I think is really good. I wish I had some around here to show in person. And I'd recommend minimum 3 carabiners, 2 pulleys, 2 prussics, 2 webbing slings, and a rescue rope. That's like the minimum you need. and you can buy more. And here you can just pick or choose. You can get this Prusik, which I think is the Sterling Prusik, is my personal favorite, the auto block. But you could come down here and get the hollow block, which is stronger, grips on road better. This is a really nice Prusik. I just like the auto block more. A couple of the carabiners that I like and I use that Sterling makes. We have these we're sold out of these pulleys right now, but these Rock Exotica pulleys are awesome. We'll pre-cut webbing for you if you want to just buy one webbing sling from us. We have cut a bunch of webbing slings. We've got some really cool palm stuff coming next week, a full-on rescue rope from Sterling. So you can mix and match and make the kit you want for the type of boating you do. And this is a throw bag that has like really awesome rope for doing rescue. So if you want to get a throw bag, a heavy-duty throw bag, that's there. So just want to throw that out there. I'm pretty excited. This is what I do in my free time now. I geek out on this page. And yeah, any thoughts?
I like the hustle. I guess what comes to mind as soon as I see pulleys, do you carry a pulley on your person?
I stopped. I've gone back and forth in this forever. Do you?
No.
Yeah. Why don't you?
I carry a Prusik, or I'm sorry, a pulley in the boat. Mm-hmm. I've been told that traditionally it just beats up your life jacket a lot.
It can. I just think it's more weight in my life jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sink more.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing a pulley is for equipment retrieval. It's, you know, you're using that. Like, there are examples of people, maybe examples. I know a friend who used a pulley to pull a person who ended up dying out of the water. They did a 3-to-1 to do the rope system, but they didn't end up living. But usually when you're using a pulley, it's to deal with equipment.
Yeah.
And why am I putting weight in my PFD that's going to make it less likely for me to survive a long swim when the only advantage is equipment, not people? And so I stopped because of that. This one right here, this is the mini. I have it here. It's the mini. There's a machined rescue pulley and the mini machined. This mini machined one is, let me make this big here, is tiny. Look at that. For weight, it's not much to carry in your PFD. Oops, almost broke the computer.
It didn't even break your keyboard.
Check it out. No. It's super high quality, sealed bearing.
Yep.
But still, do I really need to have that in my PFD? I don't.
Probably not like very tactical to have in your PFD to help a human who is in need. But gear, pulling a boat off a rock or something, yeah, it'd be nice.
And I feel like I'm pulling a boat off a rock. Time is not usually of the essence. Like, I can go grab the bag. And so now I'm more a fan of like, let's just throw this in a dry bag or some bag and just have it accessible. Not like all over my body, like more weight. So I quit. If I feel like I'm being a rescue squirrel that day, sure. But day to day, I'm not carrying it anymore.
It looks like a nice combination of the best rescue gear.
Yeah, no, it's stuff like, it's the stuff I think is, this isn't the cheap stuff. If you want the cheap stuff or you want customer service, go to NRS. If you want really high quality things, that's what we have here. Like, I've gone out and this is the stuff we're using in our classes, the stuff I believe in. All right, enough of our commercial. Let's get on to questions. All right, here we go. Light me up. Flows on Clementine and flow around 14 to 1500 CFS. Shirt tail was chugging through, so I'm guessing 12 to 1300 on Chamberlains. Have you done the North Fork of the American?
Yeah.
So you know what this means.
Oh, yeah.
This is like another language if you don't know what this means. Clementine is a reservoir. So the inflow to Clementine reservoir is 14 to 1500, which is like a medium-ish flow. I wouldn't say hard on North Fork American. Shirt tail is a tributary that comes in at takeout. If it's chugging, that means the upper section is a little lower. 12 to 1300 is probably the easiest. And Chamberlain's is the Chamberlain run on North Fork American. 12 to 1300, pretty easy flow, right?
This is about as low as commercial rafting will typically go. I saw a video of a commercial raft trip this past week, and it was lower than I've ever guided it. We've definitely kayaked it that low. Super good in a kayak.
Yeah, I mean, kayaking it down to like 600, 700, pretty common. Mm-hmm. I know people that wrapped it at 600, 700. I think commercially, you don't want to run it much below 1,000.
No.
All right, so here is the video that we're supposed to light them up. Before we start, how are your runs of Bogus? Do you feel like you have that rapid figured out?
I feel good about Bogus Thunder. Yeah, I feel like it's one that we scout commercially. I feel like I've scouted it most times kayaking. And could we go just run it? Probably. Above, a little bit higher than this flow, I'd start running that right side of Bogus, and probably this flow and lower, it'd be running left.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever purposely run right, actually. I think I always go left. Who'd you work for commercially?
Tributary.
Where?
Well, yeah. Raft California at the time.
Yeah. It's a solid run. I have to tell you, I probably kayaked this 50 plus times.
Mm-hmm.
And the kayak, it's never been a problem for me. Rafting, it destroys me.
It's a lot different.
I have had, I think, maybe two wraps. I've had probably two wraps and two flips here. That's probably more than, I think there's, I've had more wraps and more problems this rapid than any other entire river, probably state, I've ever guided in. This rapid in a raft has my number.
It's tricky. Yeah.
And I underestimated it. When we did it commercially, we didn't scout it. The company I worked for. And like, I come off a Tuolumne season feeling like, I have full Tuolumne seasons, no problems, no wraps, no flips, nothing. I go back to run the North Fork that spring and it just destroys me. So I will admit this is like my nemesis rapid.
Okay.
This is the one that trashes me the most. So it's hard for me to bite anybody up because this is the one I struggle with the most. And we'll run through real quick. I love the slow-mo.
So the guy rowing this cat says light him up.
Yeah, I think he wants hold on, let's go back. Let's see. Let's go look at the comment. Light me up. I think he wants like us to give more time.
Wants feedback.
But like, yeah, light him up is like serious feedback. This video is so awesome. I posted it on the main page. You saw it already, right?
I have seen this. Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time on my iPad this week.
I mean, this is called the toaster. This is where you really don't want to go right here. I've never, ever gone here in a raft or a kayak. But a lot of people do. This is so awesome. Look at that. That is so sweet. That boat is fully out of the thing. Hold on. Oh, man. Now it's showing Pat McAfee.
I love that show, by the way.
I do, too. I know. I love it, too. So, like, this is so sweet. First of all, I'm going to light him up here. Like, there's two things I noticed. You have so much right to left momentum right now. You just can't fight that momentum. I think you have too much momentum to the right. And I think your oars are too short. I see you struggling getting strokes. That's what I see right here. Look, all that momentum. It looks like maybe you fell down, but that left oar, it barely touched the water. That's the key right there. See that left oar? That stroke right. Hold on, stroke before that. Like right there, that oar blade is barely touching the water. And you whiff that stroke. And I think it's because your oars are too short.
Are they pins and clips?
They're oar locks too. That's the other problem.
Well, you could choke up on them because they're oar locks.
Like, he definitely fell down a little. He went through that first drop messes people up.
Yep.
I think he went through there, got off camber a little bit, and he just isn't that first stroke. He just didn't do anything to stop the momentum. Now he's driving right, and I just don't think he's getting solid oar strokes here. And with a longer oar, I think his inner oar is fine. It's the oar outside.
Yeah.
It's just whiffing.
Put a lot of energy in trying to be nice nowadays. So I feel bad. Like, I don't really want to like light anyone up.
Well, he said light him up.
I know. There's definitely, I mean, there's a lot you can do better, right?
I mean, look at these whiffed. There's a whiff. That oar stroke is whiffed. And the other thing is, I feel like, so I'm going to do the lighting up. You can jump in if you want. I think he's looking where he shouldn't be going.
That's my major thing that I was observing there. He's definitely like looking right at the toaster. And that's it's cool to look at, but maybe on the scout.
Yeah. But like maybe he should have his head over his shoulder looking where he wants to be instead of where he's going.
For sure.
And that's, by the way, that's probably, I'm kind of curious, the size of this boat. I think it's also a really big boat to be running this river at 1200. Like, it looks like a 14, maybe. It's probably a 12.6, but it looks big for the run, and it's hard to get a boat that big through this stuff.
Yep, you could totally be in a shredder.
Like, just, yeah. And right here, if he had pins and clips, he'd be still holding on to his oars. Like, letting go of the oars is a spinny thing. Which, if he held on to his oars, that's so sick.
The belly flop onto the top of the toaster is pretty epic.
But this is where, like, I'm gonna say, and he might have still flipped here, but oh, that's so sick. There's so many photo grabs to get out of this that are just should be on the wall at the river store. But like, let's go back. I've been talking about pins and clips a little bit lately with a few people.
No, really?
Yeah, it's come up again. It's just a thing. And right there, he's holding his oars, but like letting go, even though maybe he should have swam and not flipped, but like with pins and clips, you ship one oar, not ship the other. You were stable in that boat.
Yeah.
And maybe though his weight in the boat would have maybe kept it from flipping. Him falling out.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so nasty.
And the boat just is almost totally out of the water. Just so cool.
Head plants. All right. So hopefully that counts. Do we light him up appropriately?
Yeah, I think maybe hand placement is a big deal. You know, that when you're making that first drop there, that right hand is like back here behind your shoulder, which is basically a place you probably never want to get to for like shoulder mobility reasons. And from there, it just looked like it got Zach said you were kind of looking at the toaster there. And a lot of this is mental. You probably have the physical tools to do this. And you'll do better next time.
I'm curious what frame that is too. The oar towers seem a little tall, maybe. It's hard to tell.
It looks like it has like that metal kind of pyramid oar tower.
Plus, I'm watching these oars. They're bending a bit. There's like square tops. So my last bit of light them up because I'm going to is I just don't think square tops are great for fishing, for drip boats, for class 2 and 3. I think for real whitewater, square tops bend too much. And they're not like you want Sawyer MXGs for like North Fork American, Tuolumne, Forks of the Kern, North Yuba, stuff like that. If you're gonna go do it's for a Cal Salmon, those oars are probably great for the South Fork. But like I just think that the square tops are not serious whitewater oars, and them bending a lot doesn't help. Just an opinion.
Do the square tops cost more than the rest?
They're the same as the MXGs.
Mm.
They just look cooler, and they just look cooler.
They do. They look good.
All right, let's get some questions. What makes the Palm Sling under sight better than the Blue Water Titan Sling? That's a great question, Sean. I have no idea. I think the Blue Water Titan Sling, I haven't actually got my hands on the Palm. I'm going to get some next week. The Blue Water is solid. It's what I use. I think the strength is about the same. The Blue Water Titan Sling is rated, which means I would use it for climbing. The Palm isn't. It's still great, but like I wouldn't put my life. I mean, I probably if I had to, but like the Palm wouldn't be designed for climbing. You don't want to hang off a cliff on the Palm.
Mm.
It's probably fine, but it's not technically rated. The Palm I think is more designed for whitewater, and I think it's a little less expensive. I can't remember, but it's designed for whitewater. It's probably the same thing, but not rated. That's all I have on that. I don't think pulling river left ever works in our boat in the first drop. Pushing right to left there usually works. Yeah, I don't think I've ever rode it. So it's hard for me to talk about how to run that in an oar boat. But yeah, that might make sense. You might have to push that one.
Yeah, good question there, or good comment there, Sean. My question that your comment brings up is where was he trying to go?
Oh, definitely trying to go left.
Trying to get that boat left and then run through that slot on the left side there? That sounds really tight for a cat. Like, that just sounds like that slot is too small for that boat.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, that's the line, right? At that level, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Except where he went. I think the idea is going over the drop and then pulling to the left. I think that I was trying to do. And this might be a case of like you go over the drop because basically boats tend to track, like go where you want to point them. So if you're pointed left, it's going to kind of want to go left.
Yeah.
Where in this case, I'm a big puller. I believe in pulling a lot of rapids. In this case, I think you might want to push left. But I haven't. It's been over 10 years since I've been on this run, so I forget the line. Exactly. I just know it's tricky.
Well, the rafting, I know you kind of go to the – I've gone to the right side of the toaster there. I have seen people get to the left.
On purpose?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I rapped over there once.
If you go too far right, you're definitely going
to
rap.
I tried to go left. It somehow went all the way right, and I rapped on the far right.
Yep.
It was embarrassing. This rapid has my number. I'm sorry. I like – in a raft, it's my – yeah, I don't deserve to look there. Yeah, 13. It's a big cat. Yep. I sent 4 clips of bogus to the question site. My yellow wing needs lighting up too. Okay. I might be able to find. You know what? Hey, Sean, I don't. It may show up. I haven't seen what's there, but like send one clip one more time. I'll check my email. I'll try to get to it this show. Like, we've been in flux this week, so it's not everything may have gotten through. Okay, next slide. Okay, thanks a lot for this is from a student from last week. Thanks a lot for the great course. I thoroughly learned it, enjoyed a lot. I need to get better at reading, by the way. Let me read that again. I'm not going to read it again.
You've been working on that one for a little while, huh?
No, I read things too fast, and I'm embarrassed when there's stuff that says thank you.
I can read it.
No, everybody can read it on their own. But I'm stoked. I was like getting comments like this. I'm also stoked on the new frame. So during the course, he showed up with a big wide NRS frame. It was 40 some inches between the tubes with 10 foot oars. And we did the math and he needed 11 and a half foot oars based on this super wide frame that he had. And so I swapped him out into a class 5 frame. It's this guy, Jesse Fisher in Utah. Jesse Fisher, is that right? Jesse. I think it's Jesse Fisher. Jesse, if you're there, I'm sorry. My brain's full of stuff. Anyway, we swapped him out into the class 5 frame. The frame was narrower, so then his oars are the right size. Like his 10-foot oars were too short for his frame, but with the narrower frame, his oars are perfect. And the frame is sick. It's got scout bars, it's got a place to put your feet, it's got all the things. And he bought it. Like he just like, I want to buy this. I'm like, yeah, you can buy it. It's fine. So anyway, he said, I'm still also stoked on the new frame. Yeah, it's sweet. And I started thinking about oars and pins and clips. Pins, he says pins and tips, but it means pins and clips. And as we sold him a frame, he's driving away. And he goes, what are the best oars? And I was like, Sawyer, MXGs. And he goes, pins and clips or locks. I was like, pins and clips are better. And he's also running harder stuff. He's like doing Selway. He's rode the Illinois. He's on the wind. I think he's doing South Fork Salmon. This isn't like the Rogue and like Low Water Middle Fork. Pins and clips, I think, are better for those. So he's thinking about these. And so he's had a gander at the Sawyer website and wondering what we'd recommend in terms of oars and blades and what pins and clips he would get. I would say for like running whitewater, we kind of mentioned this in the last one, Sawyer MXG with Dynalite blades. Do you know those oars?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. Dynalite oars?
Dynalite blades and MXG oars.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah, that's what we have out there for the class. You've used them. It's just sweet. And just call Sawyer and say, I want the oars that Zach gets with extra duty everything. Yeah. And they put extra, like, they reinforce things. Yeah. They cost a little bit more, they weigh more, but they last way longer.
Yeah.
Pins and clips.
Spend a couple extra bucks on the oars and it'll last over the years. They'll last longer and you'll be happier.
I like for pins and clips. There's two schools of thought. Wait, hold on. Do you like pins and clips?
Not really.
Okay.
The convertibles are neat.
Those are orites though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's one of those conversations. We don't have to go there. Uh-huh. So there's two schools. Oh, I got to make us big. Hold on. There's two schools of thought. There's the ball on the top, which I like. The ball can come unscrewed, so people don't like it because the balls fall off. Yeah, I really like the ball because what I learned on And then there's the big rubber thing on the top, like that. So they're both kind of the same. I would go ball thing because I like the ball more. Whatever you do, do not buy this flimsy thing that NRS sells you. It's awful. You want to get these plasticky things. Oh, man. You want these things that wrap around here instead. And for clips, I think almost anything works. So either one works. But the key is get these plasticky things. Don't buy this flimsy thing from NRS. It's terrible. Anything to add?
You use blue Loctite for many things?
No.
I kind of started using blue Loctite motorcycling. Mm-hmm. Everything rattles loose. It's medium strength Loctite, and it's good stuff. You get a little thing of it at Harbor Freight for like $3. It might stop that ball from coming off.
People told me that. That's what people do. I put a lock washer, and I just check them every so often. But yeah, I think Loctite would be sweet too. Isn't there like blue Loctite and red Loctite?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
What's the difference?
Red is permanent.
Okay, I've got it.
You need to heat red to 800 degrees to get it undone, so not rafting appropriate. But blue, it's great. Cool.
Maybe I'll get some. Okay, hopefully we answered that question. What do you think? Did we answer that question?
Yeah, invest in your oars. Get a nice pair of oars. You're not gonna regret it. I mean, you just bought yourself a brand new frame. Go get the nice oars. You're gonna love it.
He was rocking Carlisle's, which I would say are like the lowest quality oars.
Yeah,
it's not a stretch to say that, right? Like,
I mean, no, they're like the base level.
Yeah,
like the minimum.
Yeah,
minimum requirement would be Carlisle oars.
They're technically called whitewater oars.
Yeah,
yeah, but if you got some Sawyer MXGs with Dynalite blades, extra duty everything, you'd be pretty happy. If you got, or you want to save some money, get some Sawyer Polecats with the Duramax blades. Those are a bit less expensive, but you'll end up buying the better ones eventually anyway. So whatever. Okay. The first drop is a tongue. All right, we're back in Norfolk. So there you go. Thanks so much for doing these shows. This might be a stupid question, but why do rafflers have pressure relief valves, but the main tubes don't? That is not a stupid question. That is a very good question.
Some boats do have pressure relief valves on the tube.
Barely.
Glued boats.
Which glued boats?
Not a boat you would ever buy. They're cheap boats. Okay.
Like things that are made overseas.
Cheap boats.
Yeah.
Some cheap boats, yes.
Okay. I've been talking a lot. Do you want to answer this one?
I'd love to. So it's kind of neat. You think of the floor, there's two layers, the top and the bottom, right? If there wasn't anything connecting them, they would just bowl out and make a big kind of oval shape. So they're connected by I-beams. You could imagine a metal I-beam that looks like a capital letter I. The ribs in these inflatable floors are all I-beams. And if you overpressurize the floor, those I-beams start to fail. And that's why there's a pressure relief valve.
Yeah. And they're easy to overinflate because you put air in them and it's a large surface area. And so it gets a lot more sun for how much air is in there. And so they're more likely to overinflate than the tubes. So just, it's a surface area thing too. Like it just sees more heat on the surface, and floors are incredibly expensive to repair.
Yeah.
Like it's maybe the most expensive part of a boat, an I-beam floor. Like, part of the reason those new, have you seen the new Sotar boats with the mesh floors?
No.
We have them here. You'll see them. They're sick.
Cool.
We're running them in our classes. Almost every week we run a class and we buy them.
Wow.
They're really cool boats. They track, they act like cataracts, but yeah, they're rafts. They have a mesh floor. And part of the reason that's so nice is because it saves a ton of money.
Yeah. Wow. I got goosebumps. That's like,
you're going to love it.
That's a whole new thing.
And almost every course, somebody's like, I'm going to buy that. Like the first course, I just bought one right away. And the last two courses, people are like, I think I'm going to buy one. They're pretty cool. Yeah. So I think it's a factor of like surface area. It sees more sun. And so it's more likely to heat up and explode than an outer tube.
And it's just hellacious. Once those I-beams start to go, they just it carries on and the whole floor becomes deformed. It's kind of, it's a
terrible repair.
Terrible repair. You get a whole new floor basically every time.
If you blow a tube, it's not that hard to fix. You just put a patch on it. You blow a floor and it's a thing. It's really tough. Okay, Sean, I have these set up for pins and clips, NRS pins with clavy metal sleeve and white quality straps. Sure. What's a clavy metal sleeve? I've never seen a clavy metal sleeve.
Like Clavy Falls, I'd imagine.
Clavy, let me Google that. Clavy metal sleeve. Clavy's a company. For those of you who don't know, Clavy makes river gear. I don't know. White quality straw. What's a white? None of this makes sense.
I think the white quality is the plastic like you've got going on. You were just recommending.
Oh, the metal sleeve. You're talking about the metal sleeve that goes over the thing. Oh, yeah. So one issue. That's done. Yeah. So, yeah, these things, you have to get these. Like, the white quality, these are standard. One of the issues, and this is plastic right here. On this, I don't like this setup. I have some just to show. If you get this metal sleeve, which let's rock this. That's why I like one of the reasons I like this one. This is the metal sleeve right here. Talking about, I think. So the ball ones have a metal sleeve.
This just looks like a lot less going on.
Yeah, it also it doesn't have the plasticky thing. The disadvantage of this one is the ball can pop off if you don't Loctite it or do something smart. But I'm a big fan of these.
So this sleeve is just basically to hold the oar in the case that your clip comes off.
So yeah, he's calling this the strap in this case. But yeah, I call it a sleeve. So if your oar pops off, it just stays there and you just pop it back in.
Yeah.
And these ones, but what happens with this one, these NRS crappy ones, is the oar will kind of droop. Mm. And you gotta lift it up and put it back in. If you use these ones, the oar pops and you just go bam back in. Like even in the wind race the other day, I popped an oar and threw it right back in. And that way, the nice thing about pins and clips, you don't have to tie your oar to your boat. It's like so uncivilized. Like tying your oar to your boat.
So uncivilized.
It is. It's like, why? That's cute. I'm going to put a rope for my oar to my boat. This, with pins and clips, you don't have to tie your oar to your boat.
Where do you get these white sleeves?
Maybe. Mm. Good question. I don't know. I should sell them on riverhardware.com.
Probably.
Yep.
Yep.
Damn it. You can.
Hey, it's good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
NRS rescue raft has pressure relief on every. Yeah. I've seen that on some rescue rafts. And part of the. I've seen a wing has a raft where I think they have pressure relief valves on everything. And you can put one pump in and it inflates all the chambers with one way valves. I've heard about this rescue thing. If a rescue team needs to pump a boat up fast, they just want to plug something up and just bump the whole thing up.
Yeah.
But it'll go from chamber to chamber to chamber with one-way valves.
Huh.
And so each chamber has a bunch of cool valves on it.
Huh.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks. It was fun being with you last week. Hopefully that helps. That was Andrew who left that other comment. Okay.
Cool.
That I couldn't read correctly. Left this comment. Yeah, this one. Okay. Yep. Okay. Next question. Oh, geez. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try to read this. Hi, Zach. We both know how hard wing thwart movement is. I found a nice, somewhat elegant solution. Can you comment on my fix? Explain below. I appreciate your suggestion. How's my reading so far?
You're doing pretty good. Okay. Pretty good.
Do you want to read? Because I'm really bad at reading.
I don't want to show you up.
Okay. I appreciate your suggestions to girth hitch the stock straps. A great tip, but still takes a lot of time to add, move, remove a thwart. The stock straps are super stiff and difficult to manage. I bought these smaller cam straps, 8 per thwart on Amazon. Ioport lashing straps, very easy to move thwart now. I girth hitched them. The cam buckle placement has to be as shown. If the buckle is too close to the D-ring, they can come loose by getting compressed between the boat and the thwart, and the flush part of the buckle should face the thwart, not the boat. It works great so far, thoughts. And I think there's photos. Yeah. So, I'm not a fan of the cam buckles. Maybe this is some other buckle. I don't really want metal between the thwart and the raft. I feel like that could wear them down with movement. And so Wing used to give you really cheap cam buckles with these. And I asked them to replace the cam buckles with plastic straps. They really suck to take in and out. And for how much a Wing boat costs, this should not, they should not have this crappy of a system for Thors. It really is embarrassing, actually. Like, lashing D-rings to each other is old, old technology. So thanks for the suggestion, Sean. I'm going to stick with growth hitching the plasticky straps because I don't want metal things, but this may work. Well, I just don't like that metal piece right there.
Is that black part metal or
plastic? That black part I think is metal. Mm. Yeah, it's hard to see because it's...
Oh, yeah. And it's a cam buckle. It has like a lever.
Yeah. Yep. And the one, again, they used to come with cam buckles, but like really cheap cam buckles. Yep. Like on an $8,000 boat, they shouldn't give you really cheap cam buckles. I think one of the issues with the wing, the boats are very well made, high quality, everything. There's just a little things like this. They don't have like an R&D team like dialing in. They're just sort of, there's some things like this that kind of suck. And if they had a team, they could be even better. Well, that's interesting. A rectangular thwart. How do they do that?
Learning so much today.
Me too. The wing, I saw a wing rescue boat. It was pretty sick. But I think it was like $17,000 or something ridiculous.
A wing rescue boat.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to show you. We'll move the mic. Hopefully we can still talk. So I worked with Wing to design a new thwart system that I'm going to show you now. This is a wing thwart. This is a brand new one. This might be the first boat that ever had it. It has this system right here where you put this thingy. This is similar to the NRS system through a buckle. Sorry, this probably looks terrible, but it has this. What's going on here?
Why don't you turn it up? Here, I'll hold it. Okay.
Anyway, it has, instead of having a bunch of little buckles, you have to tie every time. You just put this thing up next to it in a silly rope. And you just feed this. There's more, two of these on the raft. So you, right now it's going through the raft and then through there and back to the raft and just tie it on. So I asked them to change this, to add this. They did it. There, some team did it at Wing. You can get this as an option. Unfortunately, on the boat you've already bought, you can't do this. You probably send it back and have them change it. So going forward, if you bought a wing boat, I'd probably go with this technique versus the 8 straps on every thwart technique that just sucks.
I've worked on boats with those Sotar boat with those 8 straps. Oh,
yeah, it's a shame. And you know, the air floor system, thwart system is amazing.
The air thwart system, they lace into the floor.
Yeah. The floor is adjustable. Not that hard to do. If you want awesome thwarts, binary. Yep. Yeah, I figured it was drop stitched. That's crazy. Zach is the what? No way guy on TikTok, your brother. I don't do TikTok, so I don't have a brother, so probably not. Okay. And I definitely don't have a twin brother. Okay, so let's go back to here. How do we get to the question? Sorry, everyone. I press here. Okay. Cool. Next question. We're doing good. I'm going to read again. Hey there. Saw Tate's live report of you lining a Sotar Rogue. Sotar Rogue is the new boat, the orange boat with the mesh float.
Oh, cool.
With this, and they're the Rogue series. And there's we have the Tai, which is a bigger one, but they're all named after rapids on the Rogue.
Are Sotar floors glued in or are they laced in? Or
I think they're laced in. They're laced in.
So can you put one of these mesh floors in anything?
Because they're elevated. You wouldn't want it low because it would hit rocks and tear. It's pretty cool. It's elevated.
Yep.
It's pretty, and you can pontoon rocks.
It's going to attract just like a cat.
Pretty close.
Sweet.
But they're pretty sweet boats. Okay. You know Sotar, you know what Sotar stands for?
Swim over to another raft.
I've heard that. Do you actually know what it stands for?
No.
State of the art rafts.
Okay.
That literally is what it's named after. And I would say these mesh floors are actually state of the art rafts.
Yeah.
For many years, you'd be like, really, state of the art rafts? You haven't really done much for a long time. But Jeremiah is doing a lot of really innovative stuff. Like they're new. They have a new boat that's like a little R2 boat that's winning every race. Because it's light, it's fast. They're doing some cool stuff. Anyway, planning a trip that will involve lining gearboats past a class 5 rapid, no waterfall involved. Any suggestions on technique, ropes, and line attachment locations to get some success? Remember some time ago, you and Aaron discussing lining a bit. Also, never seen anyone lining boats in the Grand Canyon. I suppose it would be terribly uncool.
especially to post on YouTube. But some of the rapids look like they might be able to be lined as a safe alternative at some flows. Any thoughts or suggestions greatly appreciated. Many thanks so much. Okay, so I just want to make one comment. And Will, commonly known as Willie Bum Bum, Will, and I'll let you take over. I think GC stands for the Grand Canyon. I don't think you should line any rapid on the Grand Canyon. You should, if you can't row the Grand Canyon, don't go. Right?
Yeah.
Like lining a rapid on the Grand Canyon, like it would just, it's not a good idea. Right? Am I being wrong here?
No, I don't think you're being wrong. You know, there's plenty of lineable rapids out there, probably not on the Colorado River through Grand Canyon, though.
I'm guessing he's talking about bedrock at low water.
Oh, yeah.
Lining that would be tough. And if other groups are coming, you're now really in their way. So the only one I can think of, you would even think about lining the bedrock at low water.
You need long ropes. I wouldn't do it, but I understand the thought process.
I'm not going to call it a safe alternative at some flows. It's potentially more dangerous. And so the safe alternative is to be good at rowing and learn how to do a downstream ferry and practice your downstream ferry before you go, and you should be fine. Okay, back to lining boats. What are your thoughts here?
Lining boats are a good alternative when you don't feel good about running the rapid. There's probably a size limit on what is safely lineable. An 18-foot gearboat in Grand Canyon, like, probably wouldn't line that. You multiple people holding on, which doesn't sound like a good time.
What about lining in general? What techniques do you like?
I like lining boats. I like lining boats when applicable. I think that having one line on the front, one on the back can be useful in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I also really like, kind of get excited about hooking up to a corner of a boat, like right here, and kind of help hold the angle of the boat and keep it off the shore. Sometimes if you're dragging a boat along a beach or something, you grab it by the corner and you're just walking along. It kind of holds a bit of a ferry angle off. Figured that out there. Right below old Ruckachucky there. We had a bunch of boats go over onto the right. There's a squeeze there. They went off to the right. I was on the safety rock. So instead of grabbing it here and pulling it straight across, you grab it here and pull it, and then it kind of holds a better angle and gets through that squeeze a lot cleaner.
I've never tried that, but it makes sense because you always have it on the end, and it's constantly bumping rocks on the way down.
Yep.
And you're like, get out there more. A lot of the issues is lining, and sometimes you're like, go, you're too close to shore, boat. That would help solve that. When you're talking about lining Ruckachucky, that safety rock is the very bottom.
Yeah, this is after we ran.
Okay.
We run the rapid, went down. I think we were a four-boat pod. I go down there, get on the safety rock. Uh-huh. The next three boats come down, and they all go to the right side of the squeeze.
Okay.
I think we call it the squeeze.
Okay.
You been in there?
Yeah, I'm just like, I've had boats with – were you ghost boarding them over, or was it somebody in the boat?
R1-ing.
Okay. I've never done that. I've always just like pushed them over.
Yep.
And they usually kind of make it, but sometimes they get on that weird ending to the left.
After the drop?
After the drop, right above that rock.
Yep.
They'd catch that eddy by themselves, and you have to do this like big jump above an undercut.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you're saying from that rock, they would go right of that rock.
River right.
Wow.
They would end up river right of that rock. So there's a squeeze and then a big like house boulder. They end up river right of that rock in an eddy.
Okay.
So, you know, you end up going down there, you kind of get kicked around a little bit or something, you're R1-ing, and then you're going towards the squeeze, you can kind of bail out into that eddy on the right. So my three coworkers went into the eddy on the right, and I was on the safety rock. So they would tie their throw bag to the boat, throw me their throw bag, and then I would pull their boat through the squeeze.
Interesting.
At which point they'd go up on the rock, jump down, and collect their boats. I could lower them their boat down to the eddy.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I like that what you're talking about. Let's get back to the question. here. Planning a trip to evolve landing gearboats past a class 5 rapid. So landing gearboats is really hard. They're heavy. It's just hard and kind of dangerous. I think you probably do need at least 2 ropes on it when they're that heavy. And my general thing with lining, there's a lot of ways to do it. I think the thing to remember is put people's safety first. And it's really easy to like be in a rush or be like intense because it's an intense rapid and make decisions really fast or like lose control of the rope. And so my biggest advice to you is whatever you decide to do, like without a picture of the rapid or video, I can't give you any real advice. I don't know. I don't know what to do. There's every rapid's different. Every time you make a slightly different plan, but you should be managing your rope well. If your rope gets tangled up in somebody's hand and pulls them off, if you trip over some rope, if you hold on to a rope and it pulls you into a class 5 rapid, then you have a real problem. And so I would say like the most important thing is rope, good rope management while you're doing it. And also having some sort of downstream safety. Somebody may fall in and you definitely want somebody downstream that can like, when if somebody does fall in, they can help save that person. If you're lining and somebody falls in and they're just gone, you took like a thing that shouldn't be dangerous and made it really dangerous. The other thing I would consider if you could is just ghost boating it. Just tie the oars on and throw it over. Like it'll probably be fine. It might flip, but like if you can ghost boat it, just do that. It's going to save you so many headaches and so much potential hazard. And, or another technique is make, if it's like a lot of times these long rapids have like 3 distinct challenging lining moves, make people experts at one of them. Like line it down your part and then pass it off to somebody else who lines it down the next part and then pass it on to somebody who lines it at that part. So it's like an assembly line. That way, once you've done 1 or 2 of them, you're really good at that one spot. You understand like the issues and you're like, all right, next time I'm pushed out further. Next time I at this one spot, I'm going to wiggle it more and then let somebody become an expert at the next place. That's my only advice. Anything else to add before we move on?
I'd be really curious who, if this person who sent this question in is here and if they could tell us the river and the rapids they have in mind, because there might be specific bits of advice that someone has to share. Yeah.
I'd love to see a photo of the or video. Be like, oh, that one. I can't think of any class 5 rapid you would line the gearboat, line a gearboat down.
Ropes are cool, and they work really good to do stuff, and they are extremely dangerous. Yeah. I would have, whenever working with ropes like this, I would be very aware of it. Everyone very aware of all the excess rope that's around and managing that correctly. You should definitely have knives handy. Definitely have knives handy. My life has been saved by a knife that cut a rope that I was attached to. Definitely have knives handy.
I'm going to guess the rapid. I'm going to make some guesses what I think it is.
Okay.
It might be Greenwall in Illinois. They might be like class 4 boaters doing Illinois. And they're like, oh, we'll line Greenwall. Don't. It's way too long. You're like, it's a long rapid to line. Like if you're not going to, like, I wouldn't recommend it. Another one might be Lava North on the ALSEC. Like they're going to do the ALSEC, but they're afraid of like the one big rapid. That might be their plan. Another one is hard to line. And where else would you have a gearboat and a class 5 rapid? Maybe, I don't know. I think about portaging too.
Definitely have that rope on body belay. Don't try to hold it. It's going to burn you up.
Yeah. Okay. Not there. Hold on. What material is a SOTAR rug made from? Is it easy to roll in small relative to other rafts? I don't know the material. That's a good question for SOTAR. I'd call SOTAR and ask them. And I did hear that, and this is a rumor, I don't know for sure, that the material is super light. Like this 13-foot boat weighs 72 pounds. And I bought it because I was going to take it to Ecuador. And if you take the thwarts out, it's under 70, which is the most you can put on a commercial flight. So it should be 70 pounds without the thwarts. I think I heard the material doesn't have UV inhibitors. And so it's going to degrade faster in the sun. That's what I heard. It's a similar material, but it's not going to last a long time down there.
It's so easy to roll. And when you roll it, yeah, it's small. It's a little tiny package. They're really cool. And Thomas, I need to keep bugging you because the frames I ordered for that boat are too narrow. It turns out even that boat can handle a wider frame. So I need to get some 66 inch bars from you. Still, and I have some other questions for you too. Anyway, it could be lining Widowmaker. For Widowmaker, I would say portage some of the stuff. And then when I've done it, we've done the thing where it goes from person, like people have experts on. That one's a three stager.
Yep.
Like become an expert on this part, become an expert on this part, become an expert on that part, and get some of the weight off by portaging and then do a three stage line. Sean, that's astute. Okay. We're almost done. Oh, we're done. I think that's it. It goes by fast, Willy Bum Bum.
Sweet.
Yeah, better known as Will.
That's fun.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I know you so well as Willy Bum Bum from the show. How do we get the question back? Oh, like this. Yeah, so we answered that last question. So anything to add, Will, before we finish this one up?
No, it's been fun to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I've never had an in-studio guest do this, so that's been kind of fun. I just want to remind everybody now that the show's over, if you listen to this as a podcast and you made it to here, I apologize. This is not intended as a podcast. We can barely, I can barely read questions. This is much better as, Sean's video.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, man. Okay, so thanks, Sean. Man, good thing you reminded me. I can't remember how to. Oh, I even have it ready to go. Thanks, Sean. I had it ready to go and I just spaced it. All right. Sean, we're going to light you up. You cool? You want to light him up?
Yeah, let's light Sean up. Cat at Bogus, 324.
This is better angle.
Great run, it says.
Wait, hold on. Why is the video
quality so bad? Oh, it's a shredder is what it is.
Let me get higher quality.
The old Paddle Cat.
There we go.
Paddle Cat is my favorite boat ever. Just not making fun of you. Really is.
Is it really?
Yes.
It's not mine.
Paddle Cat, shredder. Yes.
I don't think Paddle Cat's in California mix. I've seen Paddle Cat's not do well in California. Every time three times I saw them, they did terrible.
I'm going to say it probably wasn't the boat.
It was the boat. Okay. Anyway, Paddle Cat. So this is that first drop we were talking about that messed the last person up. And this is that left angle that you probably want, although it's really hard to push in an oar boat. And then you just got to get over there in that slack water.
RMR Fat Cat.
Wait, what is there to light up here? This can be really hard to light you up.
324 of this year. It looks like there's a fair bit of water in there, huh?
What was this, a few days ago? All right, we're going to do our best to light you up, but that's a pretty... That's pretty solid boating right there. Okay, I'm going to light you up, though. First of all, you both have GoPros on. Come on. That's super nerdy.
Classic.
Right? Like, come on. Two GoPros. I'm going to say I see an Astro Green Jacket. A little low float for the difficulty of water, but all right. Hopefully you're a good swimmer. What else?
Astro hasn't made that green jacket in a little while.
It's probably old. It has less flotation.
A couple of years now.
How else can we light you up? Is that an NRS throwback in the front too? That orange thing? No.
T-grip comes undone there, but
yep. Do they even have a throw bag? Yeah, I got nothing else.
Great run, honestly. Yeah. Really, you got that over into that slack water behind that rock, and that pulled you right over. Yep. You guys kept that angle you wanted, and bada bing, bada boom.
That's sweet. Yeah, that's all. I can usually find things on the gear to light them up. That line that goes over the front, like it's not as sketchy as other lines I've seen go. You know that little. That yellow and blue rope that they're using as like some sort of hold on line.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as sketchy as they normally look.
I think RMR puts those D-rings down on the side of the tube to kind of make that a little bit less sketchy. There might even be a D-ring right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a nice boat.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of these Paddle Cats, but I'm glad somebody is.
Yeah.
Totally. It did really well here. Yeah. Cool. Nice work.
It does look a little low to run the right side of the toaster hump. There's guard rocks.
Wait, when you say the right side, is that like, right here?
Yeah. Yep.
Not all the way over here. There's not a line there. I've never gone over here. This is I wrapped a paddle boat on this rock right here.
It was Rap City.
At this level. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
and again, I was trying to get left, and somehow I ended up on that like far right. It got, yeah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay. No, when the water comes up just a little bit, you kind of just go straight over that tongue in a little right angle, and it's probably more of a nerves yeah. than skill thing.
Where's my, you know, the funny thing about my, what's a wing race video? I think you mean wind race video gone long. I had a GoPro on, I was testing a new mount and it didn't work. So my video is gone. The video that we have, let me see if I can find it. Let's go to private while we're here. Private white water. By the way, if you're not, he has 691 subscribers, which is amazing. If you're not subscribing to him, I'm upset. Like, please take a minute, go to Private Whitewater, subscribe. He's got some really cool stuff on here. He just did the middle of Wahi, and here's the video from the wind race. We're not going to watch it all, but this is his video. He drew an ace. There were two. So the way you got to be number one, or the way they did positioning, there were, I think, 12 cats, and it's a head-to-head race. And so you pick a card, and there were two aces in this deck for some reason. So two people got aces. And so he started in the lead, and I picked a three. So let's see if he's pushing for a bit. Let's see if he turns around. Here he's pulling.
Yep.
You can see. Oh, let's go back. You can see the boats. Like, those are all the boats fighting for position.
How many boats at once?
There's 12 head to head, and I started 10th. I'm right there though. That's me right there.
Where'd you finish?
First.
You won.
Yeah.
The champion.
Yeah. I'll show you where I passed. So initiation. Oh, right. So right here, Greg Babakoff was my like best competition. I mean, there's all good competition, but Greg and I have had a lot of battles.
I got to say, it's racing. An honor to be here with you, the champion of the cataract race.
So like Greg and I were like above here for like five, like not, it seemed like forever. We had been battling with each other and like locking oars and locking boats. And Greg and I have raced a lot together and against each other. And so there's a lot of history there. So we were battling pretty hard. At this point, I was just tired of him. So I just took my boat and rammed him into these rocks right here. And I know Greg can handle it, but I pushed him into that rock right there and just got him out of the way and passed him right there.
He would have done it to you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I probably wouldn't have done that to anybody else, but I was just tired of racing against him. And then at this point, I'm still.
Who is this guy, this private whitewater?
This is Cody. He's a super cool guy.
Cody.
Yeah.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah. He wanted to go boating this morning, but wait, today's Monday, right? Yeah. And I couldn't make it. So right here, do you know the wind very well? Do you remember the lines?
I've done it one time in my shredder.
Yeah. I remember that. So like right here, this is the bottom of Ramshorn. The conservative line has catch this eddy right here. Mm-hmm. You catch the eddy. We did this when you did it together.
Yeah.
Catch the eddy, catch your breath, get everybody together, and run the bottom drop. And so that's what he does. And that's the line he knows. But it's slower because you're over in that eddy water. But I know that there's a line over here. I've done a bunch. And it's faster. So right here, I see him catch the eddy, and I'm like, oh, sweet. He's going to have a hard time. And then right here on the right, see all this slow water right here, slowing them down.
Yep.
And then make the final pass right there.
There goes Zach.
It was fun. It was really fun. And then Cody's been training because he notice he has pins and clips.
I see that.
Number one and two on pins and clips. He wants to beat me at Clackfest. So he's been training. And so at this point on, we stayed pretty tight till the finish. Like that. You know, and then there Greg flips.
Oh,
that was the guy I pushed in the rocks. Greg is and he flips back over pretty quick. And then another boat, this two boats later, another boat flips.
To flip your boat back over right there is, the dude's an athlete.
He flips a lot on purpose. Like Greg, he's a great boater and he'll go out and just flip on purpose in rapids just to practice. And he has this really cool, do you know about the bungee cords on cats?
I've seen them.
He has the bungee. So you just jump on, pull the bungee back over. The second boat has the bungees, but it took him longer to flip. The second flip. And then below here is just, you know, the other rapids left. And it was a fun battle. And my GoPro is like all messed up. Yeah, so we're in pretty tight. And this is climax here, which the fastest line at Climax in a cataract is the right line that people don't do very often. You see him over there on the right, dropping that right there. The middle line's a little slower because there's a hole above it. And then Cody's, this is the right line. This line is not very commonly done, but it's fast.
So tired at this point.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little funky, but it's fast. And then the finish is down here somewhere. I don't know. At the end, this is like the last bit. You're just, if you're close to somebody, you're just fighting. And that's the finish right there. River left. Cool race. And we had 12 competitors, which was amazing.
That's sweet.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, Sean, I'm sorry. Resubmit it. And we're more organized now. We should get it right. Oh, yeah. Death Angle Whitewater came out for the race when it was pretty low.
Yep.
That's some good footage. We'll watch that later.
Okay.
Yeah, Cody's lines were solid. Like Cody can boat. And it's, I mean, pins and clips.
It's got to be the oars.
Just saying.
The way they're attached to the boat.
And this is that class 5 frame I was talking about.
Yeah.
He uses that frame. It has this little foot bar up here.
Thomas Cook makes those?
No, Jesse does.
Oh.
He's in the race too. Jesse was in the race. Class 5. So like Thomas makes some other cool frames. But to see the little foot bar there, and then right here, there's these scout bars. He's sitting on the seat mount that can come out, and you can put a cooler in there.
Nice.
And then this back area for class 5 boating gives it stability, but it was also a place to put gear if you're doing it overnight. So, I mean, to me, these are like the best cat boat frames, the best like class 5 cat boat frames made right now. This is where it's at. Cool. I got my wing video sent to you. First link, savage me.
Savage me.
All right. Okay. I'm not going to do all these. It's a lot because we got to go at some point.
Savage him.
We're going to get you. Don't worry. This show has to end eventually. Okay.
Well, it's been an hour.
Has it? We got to get to work here pretty quick.
Pretty good.
Okay. So here we go.
Sloppy run it bogus is the title. I like the self-humility.
Wait. Hold on. He's doing the forward. It's so intimidating forward paddling this to me. Because you're exposed to wrapping on that rock or hitting that sideways.
I really like back
there. Oh, I flipped that way before on a paddle boat. I've done that same right up on that rock and flipped. That's not that bad.
Bogus is tricky. You get in that slack water nice, it slows the whole system down. The nose is over there.
Okay, I'm not gonna light you up, but I'm gonna give you some advice. I would run a stern frame. See that paddler in the back? That paddler in the back's not helping you out. I don't know. That's just, I would, if it was me, I'd run that frame further back, run like a paddle assist, but three paddlers up front, and then they can pull you, or they can do strong forwards and pull you over there. And you need a solid right turn here. And so if you had two paddlers on the right, it looks like you have three paddlers from what I see.
Yeah, that person in the back is paddling?
Trying to.
That's wild. You're wild for that.
Yeah, that puts like, that's hard to do. Are they paddling? I don't know. But you needed. Oh man, here we go.
Just the weight distribution is a big thing there. If you have that third person up to the front.
A few, like, gosh, a little bit more. Hold on. Power, you need power, power, power. And then you need a right turn right there. A solid right turn right there would have made it all fine.
And that right turn there is going to be hard with your bow in that slack water.
Yeah.
Nice boat.
No, that's the 14-6 wing. I think that's what he's rowing. So my only advice is run stern down, paddlers up front, you know, strong forward, followed by like a really nice right turn.
Just a little more water and you start running right here, right where that pointer is.
Done that.
You go right next to Rhapsody and right next to the toaster, and there's not much.
Is this called Rhapsody right here?
I just named it that.
Okay, I mean, I rap there, so like I call it Rhapsody. It looks like it's fine.
It is.
I never even thought to go over there. Kayaking, you just always went over here.
Yeah.
And like most of my experience here is kayaking. I just always did the same thing.
We always scout this rapid, though, because there are those guard rocks there, and you kind of need to know that they're covered up. Or not.
I've only guided this maybe like six times. And in those six times, maybe six, I have two wraps and two flips.
Nice.
At this rapid. This rapid has my, I mean, just my record here is terrible.
I might even have less runs on it commercially.
And I have flipped at that. I doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In a so, and I, it was a Sotar's fault. I'm not blaming Sotar that time. But right here, riding up on that rock, just going over. And the Sotar is so stiff. I'm used to like Avons back then. So an Avon would just slide over that, like turn. But the Sotar was so stiff, it just went over. Kind of like this wing is super stiff. But
that right oar was going and going. It looked like they were trying to do the right turn.
I'm pretty sure those are Pins Eclipse too. Hopefully those are Sawyer MXGs. Okay, cool. I think we're done. Let's see if there are any more comments. Don't worry. Three paddler. Oh, here we go. Back thwart was still the crappy wing straps. Didn't take time to move the thwart, move the frame. 1850.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would have moved the thwart and moved the frame. I think, like, if you had flipped and had swimmers go for a bit and be like, oh, I sure wish I took the time to move the thwart and the frame, like, you know, I would have taken the time or done it at home. But those wing straps are crappy. There's no doubt about that. We can blame your sloppy run on the wing straps. I'll do that. Okay.
We'll just paddle it.
No oars. Yeah, just do a paddle boat.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, probably a little safer because the oars are like flipping. The oars will hit somebody. Paddle captaining with three people in that boat would be pretty sweet.
I like the paddle captain not in the stern with a foreload. Sit up a seat.
Yeah, I still sit back. I would move them back a seat. So I leave the front open.
Yep.
Put two paddlers, one thwart back, the one there, and I think Aaron would do that too. Like sit up in front of a thwart.
Yeah.
I like the back because you can really, I feel like I can really pivot the boat.
You're a big guy. You like moving the boat.
Yeah. Like I'll be like, oh, I can move it.
I like to call paddle commands because I'm not a big guy.
Oh, I'm the same. I'm a big paddle command caller for sure. But to have both. Able to like do a big stroke and yeah, anyway, I styled it this year with my 12 foot high side at 950 and R2. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, that's cool. You know what I really like is people like Sean who like sometimes they row, sometimes they are two, sometimes they have a raft, sometimes a cat. Like, dude, Sean, you need to sup it. Like, that's what's left to do is sup it.
Yeah, diversify. It's nice.
Yep. Okay, Willie Bum Bum, aka Will, thanks for joining.
That was great.
We're going to shut this one down. The show next week will be on Thursday because I'm gone all next week early. So we'll have a show next Thursday. If you have comments, please submit them. Again, I want to apologize one more time to those of you who listen to this as a podcast. It is not meant to be a podcast. You have chosen to listen to it that way. I'm really sorry you have. And let's shut this one down. Thanks for coming.
Woo, stay safe.